Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada Ki. Translation: O great actor, my Lord, all these poor creatures are constantly perplexed by hunger, thirst, severe cold, secretion and bile, attacked by coughing winter, blasting summer, rains, and many other disturbing elements, and overwhelmed by strong sex urges and indefatigable anger. I take pity on them and am very much aggrieved for them. Purport: A pure devotee of the Lord, like Brahma, and persons in his disciplic succession are always unhappy to see the perplexities of the conditioned souls who are suffering the onslaught of the threefold miseries which pertain to the body and mind, to the disturbance of material nature, and to many other such material disadvantages. Not knowing adequate measures for relieving such difficulties, suffering persons sometimes pose themselves as leaders of the people, and the unfortunate followers are put into further disadvantages under such so-called leadership. This is like a blind man's leading another blind man to fall into a ditch. Therefore, unless the devotees of the Lord take pity on them and teach them the right path, their lives are hopeless failures. The devotees of the Lord who voluntarily take the responsibility of raising the foolish materialistic sense enjoyers are as confidential to the Lord as Brahma. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Soyam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Shva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamcha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitam Shah He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Stute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kalpatarubhyasha Kripa Shindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Jai Hare Krishna everyone. So in this chapter and particularly in this verse, Brahma is praying to Garvodakshai Vishnu. And what is he praying is actually raising his concern that, oh my Lord, Garvadakshaya Vishnu, what is going to happen in this material world? People are going to suffer. And how and when he's praying, you know, it's like offering this prayer even before the creation. So Brahma was able to foresee in the future what is going to happen in this material world. So even before creation, Brahma is offering these prayers to Garvadakshaya Vishnu. He's saying, what is he saying? That Chutritridhatubhir Ima Muhur Adyatamana. The people are going to suffer because of hunger, thirst, and the three humors, namely mucus, bile, and wind. They're going to suffer in this material world. Yeah. And even Krishna confirms this in Bhagavad Gita, that this material world is Dukkhale Ashvashatam. This material world, first, Dukh Ale. Dukh means miseries. Ale means a place of misery. And Ashvashatam means which is temporary. Yeah. So Krishna already made it clear. And Brahma is saying the people in this world are going to suffer like anything. They're going to suffer like anything. So Krishna, I'm raising my concern. Please find a solution to these people so that they can get relief from this material world. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is also explaining this, that how a pure devotee of the Lord like Brahma and persons in the disciplic succession are always unhappy to see the perplexities of the conditioned souls who are suffering the onslaught of the threefold miseries which pertain to the body and mind, to the disturbance of material nature, and to many other such material disadvantages. Yeah. So Lord Brahma, who is a Mahajan, and his followers, whenever they see people who are suffering in this material world, they feel compassion, they feel sympathy for them. Yeah. And then how they try to help them, then if we go, at the bottom, you can see the last two, three lines of this purport. So here, yeah, Prabhupada is saying, therefore, unless the devotees of the Lord take pity on them and teach them the right path, their lives are hopeless failures. The devotees of the Lord who voluntarily take the responsibility of raising the foolish materialistic sense enjoyers are as confidential to the Lord as Brahma. So what Prabhupada is saying, that when you feel compassion, when you feel bad for them, what we should do? We should try to help them. And how we can help them? By giving them the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, by bringing them closer to Krishna, by engaging them in devotional service. That is the only way they can actually get themselves free from the material suffering. There is no other way. There is no other way. Yeah. Everyone in this world are trying to become a master. Yeah. Everyone is trying to become a master, and no one is ready to become a subordinate. Everyone wants follower. Everyone wants to lead. No one wants to become a subordinate. But as a result, they're getting all of these sufferings. Yeah. But if we help them to understand that the real pleasure, the real bliss is actually by becoming the subordinate to their lordship and the devotee. The real bliss is there. And then at the end, what Srila Prabhupada is saying, that what happened, and how Krishna treat to these devotees. Krishna says, these devotees who endeavor, who try to help people to come to closer to Krishna, then what happened? They are confidential to the Lord as Lord Brahma. All those devotees who try to help these people to spread the message of Krishna consciousness, they become as confidential as Lord Brahma. So that's why it is very, very important to be in the disciplic succession and preach within the boundary of the disciplic succession. We have seen there are, you know, it's like many organizations, many spiritual practitioners, they deviate from the sampradaya, from the disciplic succession, with a good desire, yeah, with a good endeavor to do something good for the people. But as a result, what happened to them? Srila Prabhupada says, like, they bloop, yeah, they disappear. So that's why we should always be in the disciplic succession. Just like recently there was a power cut, you know, it's like in our area, and it was in the night, almost like 8:30, and we were like, you know, like it's winter, it's cold outside, almost like, you know, 1 or 2 degrees, and very soon it's gonna be cold inside as well. So I was just thinking, you know, it's like in my house, we got all connection, all the electric connection, all the electric appliances, everything is there, but none of them are functioning. Why they're not functioning? Because it is no more connected to the power supply. Yeah. So that's what happened when we try to disconnect ourselves from the disciplic succession. We are like useless. Yeah, just like when there is a power cut, when the electric supply is no more connected, then what happens? Externally, everything is there, but internally, it's no more functional. It's no more functional. It stops functioning. So that's why it is very, very important to be in the disciplic succession with the mood of learning and with the mood of serving. Then actually we can do amazing things. Yeah. already 8:05.
Okay.
It's still 8:30, right? Yeah, okay, so I got 25 more minutes. And today is also the disappearance day of Ramanujacharya. Today is the disappearance day of Ramanujacharya. And Ramanujacharya is the Sampradaya Acharya of Sri Sampradaya. So there are four bona fide Sampradayas. Yeah. What are those four bona fide Sampradayas? First one is, let's say, Sri Sampradaya, and the Acharya is Ramanujacharya. Then the second? Madhva. Or Brahma Sampradaya. Yeah. Brahma Sampradaya, and the Acharya is Madhvacharya. Then the third? Rudra Sampradaya. And who is the Acharya of Rudra Sampradaya? Vishnu Swami. And then finally, fifth is Kumara Sampradaya. And who is the Acharya of Kumara Sampradaya? It's Nimbarka Acharya. So you can see, like, all of the Acharyas, I don't know why, they are from South India. So, nothing to do with South India, but somehow, all of these Acharyas are actually from South India. Even though Krishna himself appeared, and maybe, like, you know, just to balance it, that's why Krishna appeared in the north of India, so that it balanced. So yeah, in this verse, we saw that how Brahma is raising his concern for the suffering of the materialistic people in this world, and the solution of this suffering is to take shelter of Krishna by the process of bhakti yoga. So that is the process. And we can see how Ramanujacharya appeared in this world about 1,000 years ago, Ramanujacharya appeared in this world. And Ramanujacharya So some of the contribution of Rama. So today we are going to discuss, let's see how much time permits. So we're going to discuss like two or three pastimes of Ramanujacharya and some of his teachings. We'll try to draw some of his teachings and see how we can apply in our lives. So Ramanujacharya, his first interaction was with Kanchipurna. So Ramanujacharya, he took birth in a Brahmin family. So he was a Brahmana by birth. And then Kanchipurna, you can say his mentor, or his from whom he was taking the guidance, Kanchipurna was from a lower caste, from a lower family. He was not from a Brahmana family. And before Ramanujacharya, the prominent Acharya of Sri Sampradaya was Yamunacharya. Yeah, and Yamunacharya, was very old. And actually Ramanujacharya and Yamunacharya, they never met with each other. Like physically, they never met. They never had any conversation. So before departure, Yamunacharya instructed some of his followers that call Ramanujacharya because I've seen some potential in him. He can do amazing things for our sampradayas. And as soon as Ramanujacharya heard this, he started running. Yeah, he started running. Oh, I want to meet with Yamunacharya. But unfortunately, by the time Ramanujacharya came, Yamunacharya already departed from this world. And Ramanujacharya was very much in grief. Oh, I lose the association of Yamunacharya. So he was very upset, he was in grief. Then his mother, Ramanujacharya's mother, asked, oh, why don't you go and take some instruction, some spiritual guidance from Kanchipurna? And then comes, okay, Yamunacharya, who is an Acharya, Ramanujacharya is another great Acharya, but why Kanchipurna? Who is this Kanchipurna? Yeah. So Kanchipurna was a devotee who used to speak with the deities. We used to have conversation with the deities. And that's not ordinary. Speaking with Radha Gokulanand is not ordinary. Yeah, it's very special. So Kanchipurna, he used to live in Kanchipuram. Yeah, it's in Tamil Nadu. And he used to serve in a temple. And the deity of the temple was Varadaraj. Yeah, what is the meaning of Varadaraj? Vara means benediction. The one who gives Raj means king. So Varadaraj is the king of all, and it's like all the benedictors. He gives so much of mercy, so merciful. So Kanchipurna used to serve Varadaraj, and Varadaraj used to conversate with him. So they used to have discussion. So when he's serving, when he's offering the lamp, when he's offering the chamar, he used to speak with Varadaraj. Yeah. And that's why Ramanujacharya mother asked him, you go and meet with Kanchipurna and take some spiritual guidance from him. So we can see, even in Sri Sampradaya, there was never any discrimination on the basis of birth. Even though Ramanujacharya was a Brahman, but his mother asking him, go and take guidance from Kanchipurna, who, you know, took birth in a lower family, in a low caste family. Yeah. And the same thing we can see in our Sampradaya. Many of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's followers, they were not, you know, like got birth in a Brahman family or a high caste family. There were many of his followers who were actually from the low caste, from the low birth. Yeah. So this is like one of the similarity between Sri Sampradaya and our Brahma Madhav Gaudiya Sampradaya. So this is like, you know, the first common thing between our Sampradayas. Then Ramanujacharya approached Kanchipurna and asked, can you please engage me in your service? Then Kanchipurna, being a devotee, being a pure devotee of Krishna, Varadaraj, he said, yeah, sure. What you can do, you can fetch water for Varadaraj for the daily services. So in every temple, there are like, you know, dedicated well just for the deity worship. Only for the deity worship. Actually, this time when I visited to Jagannath Puri, I had a good fortune to see there are actually three wells for, you know, like for the worship of Jagannath Baldev Subhadra. So there are three big wells very close to the kitchen. If any one of you get opportunity to visit Jagannath Puri, please do visit the kitchen of Jagannath. Jagannath is known for eating food, eating prasad, eating bhoga. So his kitchen is massive. It's massive. And there are like three big wells for the different services. So Ramanujacharya was fetching water for Varadaraj. And Ramanujacharya was very happy with the service, and he always used to get inspiration from Kanchipurna. And then what happened? Once he invited Kanchipurna to his house, like, please come to our house to honor some prasadam. Then Kanchipurna said, yes, I will come. And on that particular day, then Ramanujacharya thought, okay, now it's, you know, it's like lunchtime, let me go and invite Kanchipurna. So he left from one route, and from other route, Kanchipurna came. So they came from different route. And by the time Kanchipurna arrived, so Ramanujacharya was not there, but his wife was there. So he just said, oh mother, you know, it's like I have some services, I need to go quickly. So if you can serve. Then wife of Ramanujacharya served prasadam to Kanchipurna. And after honoring prasadam, Kanchipurna left. He said, oh, I have some services, I need to go. He left. And in the meantime, Ramanujacharya came and he found Kanchipurna already left. He asked his wife, oh, did Kanchipurna came? She said, yes, yeah, he came. And did you serve him well? He said, yes, I fed him properly. And after he left, so all the leftover prasadam I served to our servant, and whatever left from them, what I did, I just gave to the animals, like, you know, cows and other dogs, other animals. And when Ramanujacharya, he heard this, he was so angry. It's like, you threw away all the prasadam, all the maha. And then she also said, yes. And you know what? And after he left, I cleaned our house, and particularly where he was sitting and honoring prasadam. I cleaned that. I put the cow dung and cleaned it. And to atone, because I served a low birth person, I bathed as well. So I am totally clean. Our house is properly clean. Now you can come and honor prasadam. And Ramanujacharya was very upset with that. He said, like, you know, what kind of person you are? You know, it's like a Mahabhagavat came to our house And you are treating him like any materialistic person, an ordinary person. And the similar incident happened a few more times. And then Ramanujacharya, he got fed up. It's like, enough is enough. He left his wife and took sannyas. It was so easy for him. He left and immediately, he's like, no, took sannyas. So you can see like how Ramanujacharya, he was so much detached from his family life. And he was so much. And then after taking sannyas, what he did, he started serving the Vaishnavas. He started serving in the temples. And so this lesson, we can see that how in spirituality, we should not discriminate on the basis of caste, on the basis of birth, on the basis of color, right? We should see the soul within the body. We should see their devotion. We should see their sincerity for the devotional service. Yeah, that's the first principle which we can learn from Ramanujacharya. And then Ramanujacharya, started preaching very vigorously, because after taking sannyas, he was traveling all over the places, he was preaching, then he became the leader. Jai Jai Shri Radha Gokulanand ki, Jai Jai Shri Daram Lakshman Hanuman ki, Gaur Nitai ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. Then Ramanujacharya became the leader of Sri Sampradaya. He became the leader of Sri Sampradaya, and he made so many many changes in terms of the regular practices. Just like one of the initial day practices was, they used to offer only verses in Sanskrit. Yeah, all the musics, all the verses, all the worships were used to happen only in Sanskrit languages. All the prayers only in Sanskrit languages. And after Yamunacharya, actually before Yamunacharya, many other saintly personalities also appeared in the Sri Sampradaya. And there are 12 famous or most prominent Vaishnavas in the Sri Sampradaya who are known as the Alvars. So there are 12 prominent Alvars, and they were also Mahabhagavat. Yeah. And sometime when they perform the devotional service, because of the devotion, because of the ecstasy, they composed many songs and many prayers. And all of the songs and prayers have been noted by their followers. Yeah. But those were in Tamil languages. Yeah. So devotees wanted to offer those prayers to the deities. They want to sing those prayers in the temple, but it was not allowed at that time. But when Ramanujacharya came, he said, no, Krishna don't discriminate on the basis of Sanskrit language or Tamil language or English language. No, he is Bhava Grahi Janardhan. He looks for the devotion. Yeah. So then Ramanujacharya allowed to offer prayers in Tamil language. And even we can see the similar thing in our temples, that we have so many prayers in Bengali language, there are prayers in Sanskrit, just like Brahma Samhita, it's in Sanskrit, and Tulasi Aarti, it's in Bengali languages. And many of our acharyas, like Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, they have written many prayers and many bhajans in Bengali languages. So that's another similarity between Brahma, Madhav Gaudiya Sampradaya and Sri Sampradaya. Yeah, we don't discriminate on the basis of the language. Yeah, so we let people express their emotion to the deities. And then Ramanujacharya, as he was preaching, as he was spreading all of these knowledges, so once Ramanujacharya got to know of Goshtipurna. Goshtipurna is another scholar in Sri Sampradaya. But Goshtipurna used to live a bit far from Ramanujacharya's village. And then Ramanujacharya, once he thought, okay, let me go and approach Goshtipurna so that he can guide me in my spiritual journey. He can give me some spiritual education. So he walked, and it was a really long walk. He arrived at Goshtipunna's cottage. He knocked in the door, and Goshtipunna asked, "Who is this?" Then Ramanujacharya replied, "It is I, Ramanuja." Then Goshtipunna said, "Come back when I am died." Then Ramanujacharya, when he heard this response, he got very surprised. What kind of response is it? But being a humble devotee, he said, "Okay, it's like maybe Goshtipunna is busy, I will come later." After some interval, he came again and knocked the door. Goshtipunna again asked, "Who is it?" "It is I, Ramanuja." Goshtipunna said, "Come back when I am died." And this happened not twice, not thrice, but 17 times. 17 times. And then on 18th time, Ramanujacharya came. And he was, until the whole 17 times, he never loses enthusiasm and he never loses his determination. He was coming every time enthusiastically, knocking the door. Yeah, every time. So this is another lesson which you can learn from Ramanujacharya. In our devotional practices, there could be many challenges. There could be many difficulties in understanding the philosophies of Krishna consciousness. There could be many, many challenges which could come from different sources, from different directions. But we should never lose our enthusiasm, nor should we lose our determination. Then on 18th time, when Ramanujacharya knocked the door, then Goshtipunna asked, "Who is it?" Then Ramanujacharya said, Adain. It's in Tamil language, Adain. And what does it mean? It means, "This is your humble servant." And at this point, Goshtipunna said, "Okay, come inside." Yeah. Then Ramanujacharya entered the cottage, offered obeisances. Then he started receiving the spiritual knowledge. And Goshtipunna gave him all the spiritual understanding, all the different mantras and all the different verses for the full satisfaction of Ramanujacharya. Ramanujacharya was completely satisfied with the spiritual understanding, with the spiritual practices. Then Ramanujacharya was about to leave. But then Goshtipunna said, "I have one condition, that you should never share this spiritual messages or this philosophical understanding to anyone." Yeah. And then he also said, "This spiritual knowledge can give all benediction to all the living entities. It can free one from the material anxieties." And when Ramanujacharya heard, then he was like, "Okay, this is such a wonderful knowledge, but I can't share with anyone." He left the cottage, and as he was walking back to his village, he was crossing a market, yeah, a local market, and then something happened to him. He got into ecstasy. Yeah, he climbed over a platform and he started announcing, "Everyone, come here, come here, come here. I have something important to give you all. I have something important to give you all, which will free you from all the anxieties, which will free you from all the suffering, which will free you from this material world, and will allow you to go to the spiritual world and to be in the association of Lord Vishnu forever." And then everyone came running. Wow, okay, what is the knowledge? Then Ramanujacharya, without any discrimination, he gave all the knowledges, all the mantras, everything. And people, they started chanting those mantras. People started chanting those mantras, those verses. And the more they were chanting, they were getting more purified. And their devotion and love for Krishna was increasing. And they were getting more into ecstasy. And they were chanting more and more and more. And this message came to Goshtipunna. And he was furious. He was so angry. He came to Ramanuja Acharya. And as soon as Ramanuja Acharya saw Goshtipurna is coming, so what he did, he offered obeisances. Dandavat pranam. Please forgive me. Then Goshtipurna was very angry. I told you not to share this knowledge to anyone. And you are giving this message to on and all without any discrimination. You know, because of your this act, you will go to hell. Ramanujacharya said, yes, Goshtipurna, I know. I know about it. But when I heard from you that this message, this mantra will give freedom from the miseries of this material world and let people go closer to Vishnu, to Krishna, I can't stop myself. I'm ready to go to hell. I'm ready to go to hell. But let them get purified and get closer to Krishna. And when Goshtipurna, he heard this, he was so happy. It's like, I never seen any person who is so compassionate for other people. And you taught me this compassion. I was like full of the philosophy and the knowledge. I was never compassionate for the people. So from today onwards, you will be known for, you will be known as Embaru Manar. What does that mean? My master. Because you taught me compassion. Yeah. So this is another lesson which we can see from Ramanujacharya's lifetime, from his pastime, that we should never discriminate when we give the spiritual knowledge, especially when you go for the book distribution. And you know, sometimes you say, oh, is this person going to take the book or not? Many times it doesn't work. We expect, you know, we think, oh, that person is never going to take a book. But many times the same person comes and take not just one or two books, maybe like the full pack. Yeah. So we should never discriminate while giving the knowledge. And this is our sampradaya. And this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers taught us. We should never discriminate while giving the spiritual knowledge to others. We should always be open and compassionate for other people. And this is the same thing which Brahma is trying to do. He's praying to Krishna. Krishna, give us, give me, and it's like, give some knowledge, give some solution to these people so that they can free from the miseries of this material world. So there are, you know, it's like few more pastimes, but in terms of time, we got only 4 minutes. So I'll just tell just one small pastime, then we will end our class. So after so many of these pastimes, Ramanujacharya, once he was traveling, and he arrived to a village, and in that village, he had like two of his disciples in there. One of them was very wealthy. His name was Yagnesh, not Jagnesh. And the another one was poor. His name was Varadacharya. So when Yagnesh heard that, oh, Ramanujacharya is coming, so he made the full arrangement to welcome Ramanujacharya, different prasadam, and it's like a proper red carpet welcoming to Ramanujacharya. But what he forgot, that there were many followers who were coming with Ramanujacharya. And when Ramanujacharya arrived at the village, see, he got like, you know, grand welcome, different kind of feast. But then he noticed all of his disciples, all of his followers were completely neglected. And as soon as Ramanujacharya saw this, he left that, you know, it's like the house of Yagnesh and went to Varadacharya house. And Varadacharya, even though he was not ready, he was not prepared to welcome Ramanujacharya and so many of his followers, but still he arranged something for everyone. For everyone. And all of the followers of Ramanujacharya were fully satisfied and happy. And then when Yagnesh got to know this, he came to Ramanujacharya and asked, Ramanujacharya, you left my house without staying longer? And Ramanujacharya was very straight. Yes, because you are trying to just please me, but not to my followers. If you want to please me, you should serve my followers. And the same example, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said. What Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you know, it's like a gopi bharta pada kamaleur dasa dasa anudas. So we can't please the spiritual master, or we can't please the lordship by directly serving them. But by serving the devotees and their followers, we can please the lordship and to the spiritual master. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and we can learn this lesson, you know, it's like how we should be very sensitive and very caring for the Vaishnavas and the deities as well. You know, sometimes it goes the other extreme. Sometimes people are very careful for the deities and the spiritual master and neglect the other Vaishnavas. And sometimes they're very careful for the Vaishnavas, but somehow they neglect the deities or the spiritual master. But we should be careful and sensitive for both of them. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur actually explains that how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how he formed this Gaudiya Vaishnava, he took two principles from each of the sampradayas. So there are four sampradayas. He took two principles from each of the sampradayas. And from Sri Sampradaya, he mainly took two principles. First is Suddha Bhakti, or pure devotion to the Lordship. That's the first thing. Yeah, Suddha Bhakti, or pure devotion to Lord Krishna. And the second is Seva, or serving the Vaishnavas. So these are the two main principles which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took from Sri Sampradaya. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also took, you know, like another six principles from the remaining three Sampradayas. But the main purpose, or you can see the main focus for Sri Sampradaya, is worshipping the deities. If you go to South Indian temples, the way they take care of the deities, the way they maintain the cleanliness, and the way they serve the Vaishnavas, it's like, you know, it's really, really, you know, inspiring for all of us. It's okay. It's like considering the time. Thank you very much. Is there any feedback or anything? Yes, Prabhu. Yes, Prabhu, yeah, sure. Okay, so I will go very quickly. So from Sri Sampradaya, it's like devotional service of pure bhakti and serving the Vaishnavas. From Madhva Sampradaya or Brahma Sampradaya, Kevala Bhakti, or the highest goal is worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, Kevala Bhakti. And second one is Tattva Vada, the doctrine of absolute reality, clearly distinguishing between God and the individual soul. Yeah, Tattvavad. From Rudra Sampradaya, Braja Bhakti, the supreme position of the spontaneous loving devotion of the residents of Vrindavan, especially gopis. Then Seva Marg, the importance of serving Krishna in personal and intimate manner, as exemplified in Vraja. And finally, from Kumara Sampradayas, the Gopi Prema, or the Gopi's Madhurya Rasa, or conjugal love. And finally, Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva, the philosophy of inconceivable oneness and difference, which explains the relationship between the soul, Krishna, and his energies. So these are the eight prominent principles which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took from these four Sampradayas. And you can say established Gaudiya Madhava Sampradaya. Jai. Thank you.
Jai. Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you so much for your enlightening class. The point of compassion, so when we go for Sankirtan, at that time our mentality is that, okay, we have to distribute books no matter whoever it is, we have to give it a try, we have to give it a shot. But sometimes we face some arrogance because of people who are in deep ignorance. Yeah. At that time, how to keep the steady mind and be persistent about it? Any practical tips from there?
Yeah, in Hindi it is said, you know, I mean, all of us are full of compassion, full of passion, not compassion. So we have like three material modes: goodness, passion, and ignorance. So most of the time we are driven by either passion or goodness. Okay. So when we go out for distributing the books, so most of the time it's like goodness, yes, I want to distribute Krishna consciousness, but there is also passion. Oh yes, I want to distribute, yeah, I want to do something. So what it said, if you want to develop compassion, you need to reduce your passion. Yeah, passion kam karo, to compassion aata. So by reducing our passion, we can actually develop the compassion. And when we, you know, as from the pastime of Ramanujacharya, he was rejected by Goshtipuna 17 times. Okay, he was rejected 17 times, but he never lose his determination, neither he lose his enthusiasm for it. And then finally, the last thing which I think I missed to mention is the humility. Is the most important thing. When we have these three things, then only actually we can approach Krishna, and then only the Krishna consciousness philosophy would be understandable to us. So pure devotion will not develop in our heart until our heart is free from anger, lust, anger, and greed. But when we are enthusiastic, when we are determined, and when we are humble, so that attracts the attention of Lord Krishna. Yeah, so we have to practice. And another thing which we should consider, this is a purificatory process. Yeah, so whenever this kind of challenges comes, it's good to get challenges in spiritual life, because all of us got some karma and it's getting purified in devotional service. If we would not get this kind of purification in Sankirtan, we'll get the same thing in our material life, maybe 10 times more or 100 times more. So with this understanding, we should serve. And mainly when we go for book distribution or preaching, people are going to criticize us or mock us. But we should only focus, okay, because I'm doing this service to please Krishna and Prabhupada, so let me just stick with it. And they will give us the strength, they will give us the determination and the tolerance so that we can continue with the seva.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. I think it's already 8:35, so we will stop here. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki, Samved Gaur Bhakti Vrinda ki.